It's time to hear from the voice of the Brewers.
Fly ball to deep right. It is back. Soto back. Out of here!
Jeff Levering is brought to you by the NeuroSpine Center of Wisconsin. Go where the pros go to fix all your back pain. Visit them today at neurospine.com.
Appreciate a little Huey Lewis in the news to bring me in today. Love that.
Thank you. And I love Huey Lewis in the news, so I'm all about it.
Jeff Levering on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We always talk to our guy, Jeff Levering, each and every Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jeff. What's going on, bud?
Good morning, fellas. What's happening?
Now, what t-shirt are you wearing? Utah with an exclamation point? Oh, okay. All right. That makes a lot more sense. Utah, give me two. Like, what kind of shirt is he wearing that has Utah with an exclamation point? Because we can only see the top of the t-shirt.
Utah!
Yeah, our screen's a little truncated here. Utah, give me two. One of my favorite movies of all time, Point Break.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. I just, you know, initially thought you were a huge fan of the state of Utah.
A lot of Utah enthusiasm on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah, you know, we bring everything to the program on Tuesday mornings. It's all good. Go Utah.
And Jeff, now focusing back on the Brewers, it seems like there was some panic that I feel like I was getting from some of the fans who were texting me after the Brewers got swept. But I feel like Murph handled it perfect. Like, we've been swept like three times in the last 300 games. This is going to happen. I can't imagine a lot of other teams have only been swept three times. The lead is large enough. They bounce back. They win 2 of 3 against the Cardinals. I feel like this angst among the fan base right now, but I don't think it should exist. They're still playing really good baseball.
They are, and they have a game and a half lead over the Phillies, plus the tiebreaker in terms of the best record in the National League, which is a good thing. They still own a 5-game lead in the division over the Cubs, even though the Cubs won yesterday in Pittsburgh. They're in good shape. You got 12 games to go. It's a sprint here towards the end. You're playing against some good teams. The Angels are playing better baseball, even though the record wouldn't indicate it. It's a hungry team, guys that are playing for jobs for next year. And then you go down to St. Louis again. Then you've got the Padres, who are still going to be fighting for a division. And then you end the season with the Reds. And I think the Reds at that point are probably going to be out of it. But nonetheless, it's a challenge for the last 2 weeks. And remember, if you're fighting for those first two spots, you got to buy. Right. So you're going to have a week off if you get into those first two spots in the National League postseason. So you want to be playing your best baseball at the end of the season. That way you can carry that into the division series.
Obviously, celebrations never get old, Jeff. And this team has goals for more celebrations. So just curious, as we talk about what the last week has looked like, what's the temperature in the clubhouse from your perspective as this team gets ready? And I just got my lesson on magic numbers and how close they are to clinching this division and hopefully getting to the bye in that one seed in the National League. What's your pulse on the clubhouse right now?
The clubhouse it's been the same every day, it feels like. It's just there is a even keel relaxation, go out there and take care of your business every single day. It's a big part of what has made this team so successful this season, especially and in years past. But the emphasis is, don't worry about what's down the road. Worry about what you can control, and that's what your performance is like today. I think that they handled the toast very well. Listen, we got ourselves into the dance, and off we go. Right, but we have a seat at the table.
You bring up the toast. Has there ever been a classier celebration in a major league clubhouse? Because again, usually, and it's become old hat now for the Brewers, which is still crazy to think about. You know, when you think about the era before this, when making the playoffs was such an accomplishment. Now they've done it 7 out of the last 8 years. But usually, you got the plastic coming down over the lockers in the clubhouse. No, this was just a flutes in a clubhouse, Jeff? I don't know if I've ever seen this.
I think they needed some caviar, too. that's the only thing they were missing from that toast. But they've done this before, right? I think they did that in Miami a couple of years ago when they clinched a playoff spot. They knew they were going to win the division, so they wanted to save the popping the bottles for winning the division. Now, there is a school of thought where you celebrate as hard as you can, as much as you can, because you never know when those opportunities are going to happen. But I think the Brewers handled it very well. I think Christian Yelich spoke perfectly to the team afterwards and talking about, hey, listen, we have an opportunity to do something really special with this group because we're so close. That's the key to this whole thing. But the toast, I thought it was very classy. It was nice. It was not overdone. And the clubhouse staff certainly appreciated that they didn't have to pick up all of it and get the cleaning crew in there 20 minutes after everybody left.
Is Rhys Hoskins the odd man out at first since he's come back? Just 3 pinch hit appearances. And I know Jake Bowers has been red hot, so they want to get him in the lineup as much as possible. And even though, you know, Andrew Vaughn's not driving the ball to the ballpark, he's still hitting it incredibly hard every time seemingly he's up. So does that mean Rhys is the odd man out?
At this point, yeah. I mean, Murph's going to ride the hot hand, and he's going to continue to do that, whether it's a left-handed bat or Vaughn coming off the bench and playing late, or Rhys Hoskins coming off the bench and playing late. Having all 3 of those guys available, I think, is really good for this team. And the most important thing, Gabe, is that Rhys has bought in. Like, he's good with whatever his role is going to be. He's just happy to be healthy and contributing to this team, because there's nothing worse than sitting on the bench and not contributing to a team when you've been around it for a long time. And he was a big part of it for the first 3 months of the season. For the last 2 months, he hasn't been. And he's seen Andrew Vaughn get hot. He has seen this team get exceptionally hot. And he could not contribute to that. So any way that he's going to be able to contribute to this team, he's going to do it.
I guess I'd push back. I think he did contribute to it with the conversations he had with William Contreras that coincided with William starting to swing the bat the way we thought. So, I love that about Rhys. Like, even if he doesn't end up on a playoff roster, I can't imagine him not being in the clubhouse or around the dugout, because he kind of has become a leader of this team.
He really has. And he's more the vocal leader of anybody else in that clubhouse. And it's hard for a pitcher to do that. It's really hard for a pitcher to be that vocal leader, because you don't pitch every single day. It's got to be a position player. And for me, Rhys has been that guy. He's the guy who has had the experience. He can get some red under his backside, and he can tell you what's right and what's wrong. And that's okay. You need that in that clubhouse. But he's also got that sensitive side. He's the total package. He's the total package. And what a leader should look like, that's your guy.
Jeff, there's so many statistical outliers and wacky things about this team that fascinate everybody watching this magical ride. May 24th, that's before Memorial Day, is the last time Quinn Priester pitched and they lost the game he pitched in. Is that just the wackiest coincidence ever? I know he's been good. I know the offense has been on days he's pitched. But that is something that is so rare and odd to me. May 24th, the last time Quinn Priester pitched in a game and the Brewers lost.
I mean, that's the guy you want on the mound, right? Because you don't know what a loss feels like when he pitches, whether it's as a starter or as a bulk guy. I've never seen anything like it. It's so special what he's been able to put together. And the team just scores runs for him. The team just wins. Just straight wins. They have comeback wins. They do everything they can. And he's the franchise leader in consecutive decisions for wins. And if that's going to win you a lot of beers at some bar at some
point. Good point,
When someone tells you the most consecutive decisions won by a Brewer, and you say Quinn Priester, you are going to drink for free for a long time.
Where does he factor in, do you think, into the postseason rotation?
He's got to be in the rotation. He's either your number 2 or your number 3 guy. I mean, I'll spin it back on you. All right. So it's a best of 5 series.
Yep.
Me personally, probably go Peralta, Woodruff, Priester in some order. Those are your 3.
I would agree.
Right? Yep. And with the way with the off days are scheduled, you don't need a 4th starter until the CS, because you play on a Saturday, off day Sunday, play on Monday in the division series, off day Tuesday to travel, and then the series resumes on the road. So you only need 3 starters in that division series.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, because clearly Freddie is the first one you're throwing out there. I think you just trust Woody at this point, if him going out there and being the guy that you know he can be. And yeah, Quinn Priester, it's going to be his first postseason start, but I think he's earned that number 3 spot. I don't know if that can be debated.
Well, when you don't lose, kind of hard to argue with that. But, you know, one thing I'm fascinated to see come the postseason is how they handle Miz. But I've been so impressed with his poise and the way he's been able to bounce back if he has a rough start. His poise has been really impressive to me, Jeff, assuming you're in the same boat.
Yeah, I agree. It's you see the electricity that he has. You absolutely see it. And it's just a matter of refining it. Remember, he's only 23 years old. He's a young kid. He is such a young kid. He does not have a lot of experience in that lightning of a right arm that he has. So he's still refining that. He's still figuring out what it's like to be an everyday big leaguer. That's not just on the field. That's off the field. How do you take care of yourself? How do you be a good teammate? How do you get ready for your next start? These are all things that he's continuing to learn as the season goes on. I think the sky's the limit for this kid. What his role is in the postseason, we'll figure it out. But I know he's going to help this team tremendously.
Before we let you go, Jeff, what's going on with Trevor McGill? Do you think we're going to see him before the start of the postseason?
I sure hope so. I know he had a setback, and he looked really good in his last throwing session, but had a setback. So let's kind of wait and see. He had the off day. Nobody was around yesterday. See what he looks like when he comes into the ballpark today and how he feels after he plays catch. But that's a guy that you need in the postseason. There's no doubt. And hopefully this little two-week slowdown is going to be okay for him as he moves forward.
Well, I guess I lied. I got one more because you mentioned the off day. So what are you doing on off day? Like you've
great
had a busy
question.
Weekend, you know, you're gearing up for a postseason run. You had some other things going on, broadcasting some football. Like yeah. What do you do on the off day?
My off day yesterday consisted of taking my daughter to school. I went for a run. I came back. I started working on football this weekend. Oregon State is what I have this weekend. I spent about an hour at the pool reading a book, which was great.
What book?
And I went and picked All the Colors of the Dark is what I'm reading at the moment.
Okay.
Very good.
I lean on good. Josh. Josh is the reader of our group. So
know that one, Joshy?
Yeah.
I'm familiar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. Chris Whitaker, very good. And then I picked my daughter up from school, then I took her gymnastics, and then came home and had a normal night.
All right.
Was my off day. It was lovely.
It sounds like a great off day. Sounds like you got everything in.
Yeah, pool day in mid-September ain't bad, Jeff. That's a good way to spend an off day.
Yeah, I needed it. I think everybody needed it.
All right, Jeff, we appreciate it. Looking forward to this Brewers push for the postseason, what they're already in, with hopefully a lot more clinching coming in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
You got it. See you guys.
Jeff Levering joining us here each and every week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And again, Brewers, unconditionally relentless, brought to you by the NeuroCenter Spine Center. We've got more to get into. We've got the power rankings coming your way next. But first, I do want to tell you about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. A lot of customers might have apprehensions about inviting somebody out to their home. But when you see the experience of professionalism, you can trust them with bringing your project to life. And I can attest to that. 100% can attest to that because they came in with the new front door at my house. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order by the end of the month. Get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PelloWI.com today.